This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stocks continue to march higher, extending a robust rally since the beginning of the month. Inflation appears to be contained, interest rates are cooling, and the time-tested Dow theory signals bullish momentum. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Gains. All right, on today's Gains podcast, we'll have both Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital, and Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, weigh in on what's behind the current rally and if the market still has legs to run. Up first, Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital here in Chicago and author of the book Calculated Risk. Well, Mike, the November rally continues on Wall Street. We've just completed another big up day for stocks. Let's start the convo there. Give us your thoughts.
Yeah, well, you know, the rally continues, as you said. It's, in my opinion, it's been driven just as the sell-off was driven by rates. And you can talk about corporate earnings. You can talk about geopolitics. Certainly these are factors, but the big game changer that has driven the markets is 10-year and 30-year yields. And they've come back down. The 10-year scared us, would have blown off top over 5%. And now it's back under 4.5, and it's amazing what that does to the S&P valuations. You know, you've seen the S&P 500 go back to about 4,500 from the 4,100s just a month and a half ago.
Do you think this has legs? I mean, I know it's all to do with, we have a little bit of appearing, a cooling, a bit of inflation, just not at the same rate by any means. You mentioned interest rates are kind of easing now a bit. And this is on the back of pretty decent corporate earnings. We just kind of got through that. So what's your takeaway? Do we have legs here, and how do things stack up as we head into the end of the year?
So I can see the FOMO returning. And if it really does as much as I think it will the end of this year, we could see a rally all the way to 5,000 in the S&P. And I usually look at the S&P as a gauge as opposed to some of the other indices, although you certainly can look at NASDAQ. But, I think that's more likely than a sell-off or treading water here. And that's because I think that this rally has caught too many people not long enough. And you're going to see, as long as inflation, and I look at the 10-year yield as the number one macroeconomic variable right now, and the 30-year certainly right behind it. But those two things, if they stay where they're at, or even we get a little bit more of a sell-off in rates, you're going to see a rally into year-end that certainly could put us towards new highs in the S&P 500.
So you think the Santa Claus rally, the so-called Santa Claus rally, which I don't even buy 100%, is coming to town. That sounds pretty good. Now, in that kind of scenario, where do you deploy dry powder right now?
Well, I think you go with the winners, which is Tech, and Tech has, you know, as much as it has gotten pounded when rates went higher, it is certainly the market leader this year and in most years. So I like big cap tech, as I've said on New Business Hour. I like Meta, I like Google. Those are names that I think will continue up. I like Uber. These are names that have very good competitive positions in their industries. And if rates have topped, and I believe they have topped, you know, you're going to see, I think, a rally continue to the end of the year. Doesn't mean that that goes into next year. I think fair valuation in the S&P 500 right now is between 45 and 4700, but I think that we probably overdo this in a Santa Claus rally, as you said, really just a FOMO rally that happens to be at the end of the year here in this case, that puts us above that range and then sets up for a tough next year. If rates don't go down further, which I don't think they will. So, but I do think the end of this year, it's more likely to see a continuation of the rally in fourth quarter here than anything else.
And the names that you just talked about, and you've been talking about on the Noon Business Hour, you know, Uber, for example, was even a stock pick. They're all good, solid, long-term holdings as well. So, I mean, deploying a little dry powder into these companies, you know Meta's going to be around 10 years from now. You know Uber's going to be around 10 years from now. You know these big tech companies aren't going away. So, you know, you're not really going out on the line and picking up some really quality names here that look like they may have a little bit more room to run.
Yeah, because I just look at valuations. You know, Uber, I don't care about the PE. I care more about the sales to valuation right now, and it's at 3x for a company growing like Uber, and in the competitive advantage that they're in, I think the stock is still cheap. And I said, as I said on Monday on Noon Business Hour, I think it's going to 100 in the next couple years, and it might just do that a lot quicker than I expect. But and Meta is, again, you know, you just have to bet on guys like Zuckerberg. You just have to bet on those guys because they continue to over deliver, and you know, you want to always, you know, a lot of things I look at it as a VC is, you know, you care about the founder more than you care about the idea, because Bill Gates can make anything work, you know. He can sell ice to Eskimos. You want to bet on guys like that, and when you have a guy like Zuckerberg still there, still hungry, still young enough to care, and, you know, you want to bet on those guys. So I think those are a few names that I really like here. And as you said, they're just good long-term, you know, positions. They're something you put in your portfolio and forget about them, because they're going to be higher 5 years from now, 10 years from now, maybe not 2 months from now, although I do think in this case they will be. But, you know, you would put them in your portfolio and you forget about them.
What's the top thing that could just thwart all of this and really put some pressure on things?
Inflation. And it's one word. It's been driving markets for a couple years now. Really, you could say since the financial crisis, in a way, it's been driving markets, because as rates went down, you saw valuations just explode. And then we finally realized that maybe the 10-year shouldn't be trading 2%. And reality started setting in, and we went back to a normalization. But I think that period is coming to a close, and we stay in the 4-5% range in the 10-year. And if that's the case, then, you know, it's going to be how good will corporate earnings be, and that will be what drives, you know, valuations in the future, and yields will stop being the one catalyst. But right now, inflation is the key, and that's why you saw such a gigantic rally today, because we got a little bit of good news there, and that's what's going to continue to drive this market until people become comfortable with where inflation on a longer-term basis is going to be. And I think it will go back to 2 to 3% range, which is historical. And when people get comfortable with that, then they will turn their attention to other macro and economic things like corporate earnings and geopolitical issues and things like that.
And finally, in the weed space, I know you follow the cannabis space and keep an eye on it. And I want it. We've talked about it in the past. There's been, talk about some potential movement towards wider legalization, maybe a reduction on some of the banking issues. Wanted to check in with you, Mike, on where we're at with cannabis. And then let's specifically talk about the domestic players and anything in there that you like.
Well, I love the space here with the risk reward situation that is currently happening in the industry. If we don't get any movement from Congress over the next 1 to 2 years, then throw what I'm about to say out the window, because these companies cannot grow in valuations if they're getting no help from Congress, which was promised to them by mostly the Democrats. But they're, both sides know that the public wants cannabis reform. They know it. So if this happens, and I do believe we're going to get some movement in the next year to 2 years, especially next year being an election year, if that happens, then these companies are half off at least right now. And, you're talking about Green Thumb is a big one. The big players, there, a lot of them are Illinois companies like Cresco. These companies are cheap. If we get, and the bet becomes whether Congress actually does what they said they're going to do. And it is difficult to predict that right now. But if you get the removal of 280E, which is a taxation that's absolutely ridiculous on this industry, but because it's a Schedule I narcotic right now, these companies basically can't make any money because they're literally getting taxed to death from every side. If that gets removed, then these companies are basically on the same playing field as, big tobacco, big alcohol, other vice companies, if you want to call them, and then the valuations will rise dramatically. So, you look at the MSOS, it's what, $6-$7 right now. You can have that ETF go to 20 if there's significant movement in Congress. Again, that's the bet. Just as the overall market, the bet is on inflation right now. And when it comes to the cannabis space, the bet is on what will Congress do.
And you know what? It seems to be a bit of a bipartisan issue now. We're seeing states that would be kind of labeled a bit on the conservative side actually legalizing cannabis, recreational use as well.
That's because the electorate is on both sides agrees with cannabis reform. And that's why I think the correct outcome will be that we get something, because you can only fool the public so long and keep saying you're going to do something and not deliver. These congressmen, senators, House folks, they know that 70% of the electorate on both sides of the aisle want cannabis reform. And there's only so long that you can flat out, quite honestly, lie to the public before they start calling you out and not electing you again. So we'll see what happens. It's election year next year. It's going to be interesting to see whether who leads it, which side of the aisle leads it, and whether they actually do pass the meaningful things that were promised to the public 3-4 years ago. I do think we get some movement. If we do, the MSOS and all these big multi-state operators in the United States are cheap right now.
And real quick, you mentioned MSOS. Explain to the Gaines listener what MSOS is.
That's an ETF on the multi-state operators in the United States. So you've basically got all the biggest companies that are only American companies. And I do think that, though, you know, obviously if Congress moves in the United States, those are going to be the ones that are affected the most dramatically by any kind of movement in Congress. So it's an ETF that allows you to buy the entire industry as opposed to, you know, stock picking.
MSOS is the ticker on that. And then final takeaway, final thoughts from today's conversation, Mike.
Yeah, I, again, keep your eye on inflation. The most likely scenario, in my opinion, is a year-end rally, only because there's FOMO building, you can feel it, and if we don't get any really bad, really hot CPI, PPI numbers, that's the most likely scenario coming into the end of the year.
Big thanks to Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital and author of the book Calculated Risk. He's based here in Chicago. Okay, we're going to get to Chuck Carlson here in a second, but we got to take a quick break. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts. I've been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings. We'll be right back with Chuck Carlson after the break.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
All right, we're going to bring on Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter in Hammond. Check out his website, upsidestocks.com. Chuck, always great to have you on the Gains podcast. It's amazing what 2 weeks in November can do for your portfolio. Let's just start there. We talked a couple weeks ago. There's a little kind of uncertainty on, you know, how things were going. The Dow Theory was clearly still bullish, but seems a little more bullish these days, huh, Chuck?
Yeah, it does. We've had, as you've alluded to, a tremendous rally here. And I'd have to say the Dow Theory, you know, kind of kept us in here when things were looking a little dim, but you know, we had been saying that the correction that had occurred was still within the confines of a market correction within a bull market. I think we said that we were pretty much at the end of that thing, and it was time for the market to start to go up, and go up it has in the last 2 weeks. So it's nice to see it's being driven by, you know, continued favorable inflation direction, as well as kind of rolling over in interest rates, and those two things have really gotten people excited about stocks again, and for those that didn't like stocks, it's gotten them to cover their short positions, which has added fuel to the fire. So it's good to see.
You wonder if there's a little FOMO behind that, because you know, I was talking to some other guests throughout the day, and several people pointed out that it seems like, and this is some points were put on quick. There might have been people who weren't quite long enough. And you wonder if that's going to lead to some follow-through.
Well, you know, that was I thought that was the case on the first week or so, where, you know, you had people kind of, you know, short covering. And I was concerned about, you know, what kind of follow-through have we seen. Now, we're into week three of this now. And, you know, today was a pretty significant day in a sense that, you know, you had a big, big move coming on the heels of a really, really big move in the market over the last 2 weeks. So the clearly is to the upside right now. And I think what also is starting to weigh on those folks that might have been short is, you know, this is seasonally, and seasonallys don't always have to hold, but this is seasonally a pretty good time for stocks during the year. And so you kind of throw all those things together, the setup's pretty good for the market. You've got a you know, we're entering a seasonally strong period for the market. The inflation numbers are pointing in the right direction. We're seeing a significant rollover in interest rates. Corporate profits, we're coming out of that third quarter corporate profits, and they were okay. Valuations aren't incredibly stretched, at least in our opinion, for the bulk of the market. And, you know, that's a nice setup for, you know, what we have seen the last couple of weeks and hopefully what we'll see going into the year end.
And just a reminder there, you hit on two out of the three. You might even hit on all three. The trifecta of data points or entities that actually move the market. We talked about it last time. Trifecta for stocks, interest rate, inflation, and corporate profits. We've seen easing on inflation. We've seen, you just talked about interest rates. And this is off the back of a pretty decent earnings season. So kind of ticking all the boxes here, too.
Yeah, it is. You know, the one kind of fly in the ointment among the three major engines had been interest rates. And, you know, that has been, I mean, they're still elevated, but, you know, they've come down pretty significantly in the last 2 weeks. I mean, you look at what's happened to the 10-year, the Treasury has come down quite sharply, and some of the other longer rates are kind of following suit. So, you know, that was the biggest problem for the market was that interest rates. And, you know, if in fact this decline has sustained itself, you know, that's going to be a real boom to stocks. So, when you look at those three engines, they kind of stack up neutral to probably pointing in the bullish direction, and the market's reflecting that.
And then the Dow theory, it's all about levels. And I've wondered through this market action that we've seen over the last 3 weeks, has this changed the levels? And I'm thinking maybe even on the downside, do we have to readjust things with the Dow theory? You're the expert. Give us the levels, both on the Dow Industrials, of course, and the transports, an important part of that as well.
Yeah, the levels actually stayed the same, and that was one of the things that was good to see, that when we spoke last, you know, those levels that were put in held, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average, that level is 32,417. That's 32,417, 32,417. And on the Dow Transports, that's 13,556. So those levels hold. Now, what we would love to see happen under the Dow theory is that we held those lows, and now we eclipse the previous important highs, and that would reconfirm the bullish trend. And those levels on the upside that we're looking at are, for the Dow Jones Industrial Average, that's 35,630, and for the transports, it's 16,695. So, you know, the industrials are fairly close. I think they're maybe 2%, 2.5% away from that. The Dow transports still have some work ahead of them. But as you know, Andy, and we've talked about over the years, you know, the transports can put points on in a hurry. I mean, today's
an example
of that. Yeah, they have.
They have. Even last time we talked, I mean, the transports were thousands of points lower than they are today. Yeah, explain why. That's the most encouraging part of all of this, is as I've been seeing those transports kind of follow through as well. Explain the significance.
Yeah, well, the transports are probably the most economically sensitive index there is, the Dow Jones Transportation Average. And so, you know, if you want the best barometer for future economic activity, and i.e., you know, are we going into a recession or not, the transports usually are the canary in the coal mine that give you the first best look at what the future can hold from an economic standpoint. So it's very important for them to confirm the upward move in the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which is what you want to see under the Dow theory. You want to see both the Dow Jones Industrial and the Dow Jones Transportation Averages confirming one another directionally, and that's what we have seen. So, you know, now the Dow Jones Transportation Average is only, you know, consists of only 20 stocks, so it can be pretty volatile, but, you know, history shows that it can be volatile on the downside, but it can be really volatile on the upside. I mean, today, for example, everybody's attention was focused on the movement in the Dow and the S&P 500, but the Dow Jones Transportation Average went up almost double percentage-wise what those two averages did today. And, you know, it's indicative of the type of moves that can happen. Now, it needs to put some moves on here because, like I said, that previous significant high is 16,695. So it's got its work cut out. But again, you know, if in fact it's a bona fide bull market, you know, the next thing you see are both the Dow Industrials and transports eclipsing those previous levels. And again, in the transports, that level is 16,695, and in the industrials at previous levels, 35,630.
So what is your advice for the individual investor, and more so the degenerate gains listener? Someone like
ride ride the pony. I mean, if you hung in there when the market pulled back and you didn't panic, then play this. And I think, you know, and we saw a bit of it today. And if this is going to continue, you're going to see a broadening in the rally. And that broadening in the rally is going to include things like small cap stocks. And you know, today was an unbelievable day for small cap stocks in general. I mean, the Russell 2000 small cap index was up almost 5.5% in one day, 5.5%. So you talk about breakouts. I mean, that's a significant breakout. So, you know, if you're somebody that, you know, doesn't have any small cap exposure in a portfolio, you know, if it's, you might want to pick up some, because again, if this is a bona fide move to the upside, which it feels like it is, then that leadership is going to broaden out, and you're going to see small cap stocks start to start to perform better where they have been lagging.
Now, I'm going to hit you for some stocks on the upside stocks list here in a second. But you talked about small cap exposure. You talked about the Russell 2000. Give me a good vehicle to get that widespread exposure as you look at a potential rally that expands across a wider swath of stocks.
Well, if you just want to, you know, if you don't want to get too exotic, you can do just a total stock market index. Like Vanguard has a total stock market index. You know, Charles Schwab has an ETF that's, I think it the expense ratio on it is all of like 3 basis points, and SCHB is the symbol, B as in boy, it's the Schwab U.S. Broad Market ETF, and it's going to give you, as the name implies, broad market exposure. And you can get that broad market exposure for virtually, 3 basis points for an expense. So it's a really, really cheap way to gain broad market exposure here. And there's other ones out there. But again, you know, just buy a broad market or a total market index. You're going to have exposure across large, mid, and small, and take advantage of the move here.
Dollar cost into that position. What's your advice for getting in?
You could dollar cost average in. I mean, it wouldn't be unusual. After a day like today, you know, you talk about follow through. It'll be interesting to see tomorrow's follow through after a day like today. But you know, would it surprise me if the market pulled back a little bit here? No, it wouldn't. And so, you know, put some money in now. If you get a pullback, put a little bit more in, and try to make sure that you get the position you want, say, over the next 3 or 4 weeks. And history shows, Andy, actually, that the best way to be an investor is you maximize the power of time. And the way you maximize the power of time is you get in the market as quickly as possible with as much bulk as possible.
Fair point. That's interesting. That is interesting. And I'll let you do the however. Go ahead with the however. That's important.
However, people, it's really hard to do that. So, you know, in theory, it that's what you should do. But where the rubber meets the road, it people just can't do that. They can't pull the trigger in that way because they fear too much of the downside potential if you're putting it all in at quote the top. So, you know, that's why dollar cost averaging is a more palatable approach for most people, because they will do that. They will initiate a program by putting some in and then putting a little bit more in, then putting a little bit more in, and, you know, it'll get them off square one. If you tell them, listen, you should be getting in, and you should be getting in now, and you should be getting in with all your bulk, they're not going to get in. They just won't. And so... You know, practically speaking, dollar cost averaging is a way for folks to kind of get off square one and get back in.
Or you could just be bold like us gains degens and hold your nose and just back up the truck Let's go. So,
yeah, let's go.
And then as far, you know, we talked about, you know, broader exposure, but, you know, upsidestocks.com, you can be nimble as well. There's some probably some stocks on that upsidestocks.com list that are probably poised to move if the market broadens. Give us a couple ideas.
Yeah, one, you know, and one of the things that helped the Russell Small Cap Index today was it has a pretty good swath of small banks in there, regional banks. And, you know, that's an area that really has underperformed. But if you're getting into an environment where interest rates are starting to come down, so their cost of capital is going to come down and what they have to pay depositors and stuff, you know, and lower rates tends to reduce stress in the financial system, which is a good thing for banks. Then looking at banks is probably not the worst place to be, especially a group that has underperformed and is still offering value. And in that space, and I mentioned on your show before, but you know, it's a stock that was up 6% today. It's Esquire Financial. It's ESQ. And even though the stock was up 6% today, you know, it's still down about 11-12% from its 52-week high. So it's gotten away by any means. Trades for $48 a share. Again, that's Esquire Financial Holdings. Symbol is ESQ. And by the way, our clients own these stocks in the interest of full disclosure, and so do we. Another stock to take a look at is, and this had a nice move today, is ITT. Trades for about $107 a share. This is another stock that's looks like it's on the verge of a significant breakout here. That's a stock that I would certainly take a look at, and they're kind of an industrial play that would benefit from lower rates, a sustained economic improvement. And, you know, that's a stock that I think is worth looking at. And then finally, a stock that had come down and is starting to work its way back is Jabil, J-B-L, which is a mid-cap stock, and it's one to take a look at. They do kind of, fab work for electronics firms, where they build, they provide electronic manufacturing services, basically. So they'll build stuff for other firms, and that's an interesting business, especially in the theme of more insourcing in the United States. This is a way to play that. Is Jabil? It's J A B I L is the name. The symbol is J. B as in boy, L as in Larry. So those are some stock picks for you in the upside world.
And then finally, what could potentially thwart all of this and, you know, start sending stocks lower?
Well, you know, you go back to those three engines, interest rates, inflation, and corporate profits. And in fact, if today's inflation report was pretty positive, but if we got a pretty negative inflation report, that would not be good. I think interest rates probably still the biggest buck, though. Has the back been broken on interest rates and now the trend is lower for sure? Or is this just kind of a momentary blip downward before rates resume upward? That's probably the biggest challenge that the market faces is interest rates. Because, as you know, interest rates price the attractiveness of stuff other than stocks. I mean, if you can get 5% on your money, it's hard to pull out of that and put your money into stocks if you're getting 5% virtually risk-free. On the other hand, if you're getting 2% or 3% on your money, it makes it a little bit easier decision to go into stocks. So, you know, we've seen rates come down. If that continues, that's going to be a plus for stocks. If, in fact, rates pivot and start to skyrocket again, that's going to be a big challenge for the market. So rates really hold a key, I think.
Always appreciate the advice from Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the Dow Theory Forecast newsletter in Hammond. Check out his website, upsidestocks.com. Again, that's upsidestocks.com. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's an option for you. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings, and I look forward to seeing you then.
a News Radio WBBM podcast powered by Odyssey.